All right. Well, welcome everybody online. Welcome. And of course, here in the room, and you can guess the movie by now, right? Super Mario Brothers. We'll be doing a different movie each week and at the movies, taking the themes of those movies to write through what God says to apply them to our life. This one has a powerful theme, even though it is a children's movie. It's one of those children's movies, kind of, but it's sort of adult and children at the same time. They did a great job, but I'm glad that Super Mario Brothers and Mario Kart and all that still lives, because this, you know, Super Mario Brothers, what the video game back in the console days, was kind of in my sweet spot growing up, because I'm a Gen Xer, which meant that we would do things like go to the mall, which a mall is a big building with stores in it. And they would have an arcade in the mall, which was a big place with these old console games like this. I know that some of that still exists. But back then, when I was growing up, you know, home video games were pretty lame. So you would go and waste a lot of time and a lot of quarters at the arcade, at the mall, or for me, the hockey rink, the hockey arena, because I played hockey. When we weren't, we'd, you know, waste a bunch of money on these video games. For me, it was Galaga was my jam. And you play Galaga, and they would always have like the top 20 scores. You always wanted your initials as one of the top 20s, big deal. But if Galaga was busy, then there were a couple of other options at the hockey rink. They had Pac-Man, they had Donkey Kong, and they had Super Mario. And that was the one I actually played the least. But still, I'm glad games like that are alive and well. And the movie itself is very well done. And the actors, the voices are like Jack Black and other, I mean, they just do an incredible job, Chris Pratt. And so, you know, I encourage you to go see it if you haven't seen it, because it is a universal theme. And the theme is this, that their life can be an adventure bigger than you can imagine if you're willing to take some risks and join with other people in a bigger mission to save the world. And if that basic idea sounds familiar, it should, because that's the adventure that God puts in front of us. As God is working in his world and is living out his mission, he does that through us. And you and I can take some risk. It does take risk. You have to get uncomfortable to join him. But if you do, then life is a much bigger life than you'd experience elsewhere. But what you see with the two brothers, you know, the Super Mario brothers, we just saw the story, of course, in the little trailer when I came up. But these brothers take a risk to start their own plumbing company, but then get pulled into a much bigger adventure than that, as they save the world from the bad guy, Bowser, who's, you know, out to do bad things in the world. And you've got Mario, who's the brother that is scared, anxious, wants to just be comfortable, doesn't really want to risk anything, just wants everything to stay the same. And Mario, who is the positive risk taker, the optimistic one, who wants life to be an adventure. And I think all of us have a little bit of Mario and a little bit of Luigi in us. There's part of us that just wants to play it safe, that wants to be comfortable. I mean, American life is kind of that, you know, being comfortable. But there's a part of us that knows, hey, we want to be part of something bigger like Mario. We have an inner Mario and an inner Luigi. And I want us to tap into that sense of destiny as we see this first scene that we'll look at with Mario at the beginning of the movie when destiny comes calling. Let's see the first clip. Okay, so destiny is calling, right? There's a sense of like, oh, this is it. Now they're going to get pulled into a way bigger adventure than just saving Brooklyn from floods. And we'll see that reflected in some of the other clips too. But destiny is calling. What you see in Mario is that sense of destiny, that there's got to be something bigger, that life is too small, that I feel like I'm here for something. And that is in every human being, that basic feeling, that basic thought. A spirit of destiny. Like you see it in little kids. Like when you ask little kids what they want to be when they grow up, they never say stuff that's lame. You know, right? They always say something exciting, right? Because that's I think that's built in. But yet, over time, what happens, and depending on the environment and what happens, and, you know, that can get just sort of smashed out of people. But the truth is, God has put you and me on the planet, and therefore every human being is made in God's image, is made uniquely designed with a purpose and with something to do, with unique gifts and all of that. Everybody is put on this planet for something. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That if you have a spirit of destiny somewhere buried in you, every human does, because we're made in God's image as his handiwork, and we're made with something to do. We're crafted to do something. It's not that you and I could be anything we want to be if we just try hard enough. That's not true. It's better than that, the truth. The truth is, it's not that you could be anything, but God has designed you for something. And God has put you on this planet for something. And therefore, one of the greatest gifts that we can give children in our life and that we can give fellow adults in our life is greater clarity around, you know, I think you're gifted to do this. I think you're here to do this. One of the things I'm really thankful for with my parents growing up, they were great parents, but one of the ways they were great parents is I never doubted their belief in me. That I grew up with a sense of destiny. I grew up in a sense of, hey, you're unique, you're special. God put you here for a reason. I grew up with parents who were very supportive of me trying different things to find out what that is and giving insights and encouragement and supporting whatever that was in all kinds of ways. And again, that's the privilege you and I have with children and young adults in our life, but I think also adults, just fellow friends in our life too, to be an encouragement that way. I remember when I grew up that way as a kid, when I began to follow Jesus as junior high, I heard a talk that I'll never forget. And I don't even know who did the talk. I don't remember. I think it was a missionary, but I don't remember anything about that talk, that speaker, but I do remember his main point from all those years ago. And it was this: you will never be the same once you know that God wants to use you to change the world. And that captured my attention as a 13-year-old. And I realized, you know, I don't know what that's gonna look like. I don't know what that's gonna mean, but I know that's what I want. I want God to use me to change the world and to give my life to that. And you and I have the same choice with however much life we have left to say, that's what I want my life to be about. Realizing that God has placed us where he's placed us, in our work environments, in our home, in our neighborhoods, in our school, on purpose, and he's collected us together as his church. We don't do this adventure alone. We do this adventure with others, just like Mario has Luigi and then Donkey Kong and the princess and the toad, as we'll see in the movie if you watch it. You and I are part of this thing that God has collected together called church. Jesus came up with the concept. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." Church, the literal word translated church from Greek is ekklesia. It literally means the called out ones. Those who are called out. Called out for what? Called out for God's purpose, for his mission. In Acts 1:8 is one of those times that God gives the mission. And he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Remember that word power. "And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." He was telling this little group, the first church at that time was 120 people. And they had an adventure of reaching the world with a message of Jesus and bringing his hope and light and help and redemption and restoration to the world, this little group of 120 people. But that's what would happen. This little group would turn their world upside down as it begins to grow and grow and grow. But they have to make some scary steps. It starts in Jerusalem where everything's comfortable. But if you're gonna follow Jesus, you gotta get uncomfortable, because he will lead us into mission. He will lead us into impact, which means, yeah, we've gotta be open to take some risks, and we do it together. And that's why church is not just a social club. Church is not just an educational institution. The church is a movement of God built around his mission of reaching this world, empowered with radical love that brings change and that brings hope. It means that you and I as his church are called for something bigger, and we get to encourage each other in that process. It's actually bigger than we even can understand. And we see that, we're about to see another clip where Luigi and Mario get pulled into an alternative universe, and they're involved in saving that alternative universe. And you and I may not realize it, but there is something bigger at play. We'll talk about it. A cosmic battle going on, and we're the battlefield, and we're the ones that God is using in the battle. But first, let's watch the scene, the next scene, where they get pulled into this alternative universe. Let's watch. All right. So they get sucked into this alternative universe. Mario gets pulled into the Mushroom Kingdom, that part of that universe, which is a very happy place where the princess reigns, and these little toad, they call toads, but little mushroom people, the adorable ones in the clip we saw earlier are. And Luigi, the scared brother, gets unfortunately pulled into the Dark Lands, where Bowser, the bad guy that we saw in the clip earlier, he is out to reign over the world, and he's in love with Princess Peach, and he wants to force her into marrying him, and if not, if she doesn't, then he'll destroy the Mushroom Kingdom. But he wants to rule with her, preferably. If not, it doesn't matter, because he wants to rule the universe, rule the world with his dark designs and bring death and darkness and destruction and all of that. And he's very powerful. And so they get caught up in this world. And they're out to save the world from this evil Bowser. Now that too should sound familiar, because you and I are in that same kind of battle. That there is an alternative universe. Actually, it's closer than that. It's not alternative. It's actually our world. There's another dimension, a spiritual battle going on, and we can't see it. And this might be a little freaky for you at home right there, as well as for those of us in the room right now. There is a spiritual realm that we can't see. But there are angels and demons around us right now. Isn't that wild to think about? And they're impacting our lives and impacting our world all the time. Angels are spiritual beings created by him, far more powerful than you and me as humans, but created to serve his purposes in the world. But back eons ago, they rebelled. One third of the angels rebelled against God. Satan, one of those angels. And now there's this spiritual battle in the spiritual realm with angels, the fallen angels, demons, and Satan and God. And humanity is kind of the battlefield. This world is the battlefield. And as bad, when you look at our world and you think, man, it is so messed up, it's not just because humans mess things up. We do. There's something at play that's much more sinister than that, and that is happening all the time. As Satan is out to, as John 10 says, steal, kill, and destroy. And he's making this world darker and darker, trying to and opposing all the goodness and beauty that God wants to bring in the world. Paul talked about it in Ephesians. He said, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not against other human people. They're not our enemy, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is a spiritual battle going on all the time. How do we play into that? When we sign on to the adventure of following Jesus, we sign on to be part of this battle. As Jesus did not leave this world to just under the influence of Satan, but instead to undo the works of the enemy, to light the darkness, to bring hope and healing and love and light and all that. And he does that through this thing called ecclesia we talked about, his church, his people. In Matthew, he said, I will build my church, Jesus said, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. That's what he's doing. He's building his ecclesia. He's called out ones to be part of this. In Ephesians 3:10, he says his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is this spiritual battle going on, and you and I are part of it. And you think, well, what does that mean? Like, what do we do? And the way we win in the spiritual battle, the way we engage God is to join him as his church, being the people he's called us to be. We are here with good news. The good news of how people can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus, who came to make it possible for us to know him. So therefore, we have the good news that we're to share. And we're here to be the good news, to share the good news and to be the good news, to bring life and light and love and healing everywhere we go. That we're called to be people of light in the face of darkness, love in the face of hate, unity in the face of division and polarization, kindness in the face of cruelty, compassion in the face of need, justice in the face of injustice, acceptance in the face of rejection, healing in the face of brokenness. We're here to light the world. And that can feel overwhelming and even scary, but we don't have to be scared. John lets us know, one of Jesus's original followers who wrote 1 John 4:4, he said, the one who is in you is greater than one who is in the world. In this spiritual battle, it's not a fair fight because God is the one who's in control and sovereign, and he wants to use you and me to bring light in the darkness everywhere we go and every environment we're in. And here's the thing, when light and darkness collide, what wins? Light wins. Light wins. We have the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. And we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to shrink back. We can play offense. We don't have to play defense. And so therefore, we're called as his people to move forward boldly in love. And when I think about that boldness and lack of fear, it reminds me of a story that I would call Erwin a ministry acquaintance. I had lunch with him one time and years ago and have seen him a few times. But there's a guy named Erwin McManus who's speaking. He's one of the speakers at the Leadership Summit in August. He's a great communicator. He's a pastor of Mosaic out in LA. He's also an author and he's written a lot of books and I encourage you to read them. But one of his books is Seizing Your Divine Moments, which he wrote years ago when his kids were small. And he writes about a time when his son Aaron was like little bitty, first time to go off to camp, first time to be away, which is a tough transition for parents. And he writes about that experience. He says, one summer Aaron went to a youth camp. He was just a little guy and I was kind of glad because it was a church camp. I figured he wasn't gonna hear all those ghost stories because ghost stories can really cause a kid to have nightmares. But unfortunately, since it was a Christian camp and they didn't tell ghost stories because we don't believe in ghosts, they told demon and Satan stories instead. And so when Aaron got home, he was terrified. Dad, don't turn off the light, he said before going to bed. No, Daddy, could you stay here with me? Daddy, I'm afraid. They told us the story about demons. And I wanted to say, they're not real. But of course he couldn't. He goes, Daddy, would you pray for me that I would be safe? I could feel it. I could feel warm blanket Christianity beginning to wrap around him, a life of safety, safety, safety. I said, Aaron, I will not pray for you to be safe. I will pray that God will make you dangerous. So dangerous that demons will flee when you enter the room. And he goes, all right, but pray that I be really, really dangerous, Daddy. You and I are called to bring love and light and hope and healing everywhere we go, to undo the work of the enemy. And we're empowered by God. We are not on our own. We don't have to be intimidated because when we do, we're joining him and he empowers us. Remember what I said earlier, remember the word power when he gave the mission, but he says, when my power comes on you, I want you to live the mission. And I want us to understand the concept of power. Because in this spiritual realm, we have the Holy Spirit who is God. When you and I begin a relationship with him who indwells us and he is the ultimate power up. And if you know about Super Mario Brothers, you know about the power up, but in case you don't, let's watch the next clip. All right, so that's the power up. And the good news for us as when we begin a relationship with Jesus is that God indwells us. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's one in three. That's the Trinity. Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit indwells us when we begin a relationship with Jesus. And he is there with us in our lives all the time. And he's the ultimate power up because he is there among other things to enable us, to empower us to do what we could not otherwise do and to live way above our pay grade and way above our ability. He always empowers obedience. And so if you get scared of taking a step of obedience, you can always ask for the power up. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's a step of generosity, a step of faith, a step of engagement into ministry, whatever it is. When God calls us to do something, he empowers us, his empowerment is there. And you think, well, how do I get the power up? Like, how do I do that? You know, Mario punched the little thing. What do we do? And well, the Bible talks about that. Ephesians 5:18 says that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. The whole thing is do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the be filled with the Holy Spirit, what does that mean, be filled with? Because it feels like filling a container, but it's really not. The sense of that word isn't just being like filled up with the Holy Spirit, because we already have the Holy Spirit. It's actually to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's why it helps to know the word before. He says, don't get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Because when you get drunk with some substance or you get high on some substance, it begins to take over your ability, and not in a good way. I mean, he even adds, that leads to debauchery. Like, that leads to problems. And a lot of you have lived long enough and you've done enough substances, you're like, yeah, I wish I would have heard that a long time ago, right? It doesn't end well. That's the wrong kind of being. Don't give control to that. But instead, give control to the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't lead to bad stuff. It leads to empowerment, to live the mission and to live an obedient life and to do things that we would never get to do otherwise. The word, for those of you who get kind of a thrill out of hearing a Greek word at church, because the New Testament was written in Greek, the word is pleroo, be filled. And one of the ways that word is used often in the like 2000 years ago world when it was written was when you have sails and a wind and you need wind to fill those sails in order to push it. And that's one of the main ways they use pleroo. It was for wind to fill the sails in a way that you could go forward. Because without wind, a sailboat's useless. But with the wind, well, it's pretty powerful. And the Holy Spirit is the wind. The Holy Spirit is our power. The Holy Spirit is our energy. And it says be filled, which means there's something we do to be filled. What is that? I think it's just, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And we can pray through that. We can pray that anytime. I think it's almost certainly the most common thing I pray for myself. I pray that prayer multiple times a day. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Before I come out to speak, there's from backstage at Legacy where I'm at right now on this stage, there's a long hallway, secret hallway that goes to the lobby and it's dark. And I get to the end of that hallway before I come out for a service and I get on my knees and I pray. And the first thing I do after just thanking God for the privilege of doing what I get to do is I say, God, please fill me with your Spirit. Lord, fill me with your wisdom today. Fill me with your words today. God, help me speak as Peter said in his writing, speak as if you're the one speaking, not me. God, as much as possible, you empower me and you do you. You do your thing through me. I just help me do my part well and fill me with your Spirit. And I pray for you too. I pray that God will fill you with the Spirit too. That God would fill this room with your Spirit, for those at home, that he would fill your home with his Spirit, and that you, all of us, but you would respond to whatever God wants you to do, that you would open up your life to him in a new way. I pray that, though, other times too. If I'm going into a meeting often, I'll pray, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, give me your wisdom. If I'm in a relational situation that is just difficult, where it's hard, I'm losing patience, I'm losing the ability to love well, I'm losing the ability to be other-focused, when I'm good, I'll say, God, fill me with your Spirit because I can't relate anymore well. I can't do this without you. I need you. I need your Spirit to empower me to do what I know you want me to do to love this person. Whatever it is, we've got the ultimate power up and it's there all the time. And that's why you and I can take risks, because we're not on our own. And so if God is calling you to take some kind of risk, maybe it's something like getting into a group. If you've never been in a group before at church, that's risky. Or if you, maybe it's into some ministry and you think, maybe it's junior high. Well, that's risky. Or whatever it is, right? Whatever God's calling you to do. Or take some step of faith or something at work that you believe God is calling you to do. God is the ultimate power up. He will always empower us to do what he calls us to do. And we can call on him in any moment, all the time. I need a power up. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And I'm telling you, I've lived my life this way. There are times that I've shrunk back where I did not take the risk because of fear or inadequacy, feelings of inadequacy or insecurity, and I regret every one of those. But I'm also thankful for times I pushed through my fear, I pushed through my uncomfortableness, I pushed through my inadequacy and said, God, this is above my pay grade, but I'm gonna, okay, you want me to do this? I'll do this, but I need you to show up. And you know what? God always shows up. And I've shared before how when I became the senior pastor of this church 20 years ago, I felt like I was fine until about a minute before that first service. And then reality hit. And I was like, what did I just say yes to? And the weight of responsibility just went foop on my shoulders. It's still there. But I remember saying out loud, and there were people, I'm sure there were people that heard me, on the front rows, even though there was music playing because the service was about to start. I said, God, if you don't show up, I'm in trouble. And I said that out loud. That's how I started this senior pastor gig. But God's always shown up. And every time I've taken a step, he's always shown up. And here, and the same thing is true for you too, if you're up for it. You get to live above your pay grade. Life becomes an adventure. Now, this adventure, Mario, you may wonder how it ends. Does Mario lose? Does Bowser ruin the universe and destroy the Mushroom Kingdom? Well, you can imagine this is a kid's movie. The good guys win. But it's still fun to see it, isn't it? So let's watch it. All right. So the good guys do win. And in this spiritual battle that we've been talking about, I don't want to spoil anything, but God wins. We know that God is eternal. Satan is not. Satan is an angel, is a created being like you and me. He exists at any point in time. He exists like that. God is above time. And so for him, everything is all at once. It's like he's already experienced the future as well as the past. It's all the same thing to him. And yes, God wins. And in the book of Revelation, we read this when Jesus comes back and he vanquishes Satan and demons, and he restores to this broken planet. He finishes the work that he's begun when he came and started the church, and he makes the world right again. He makes a new heaven and a new earth. He sends Satan and the demons to the lake of fire forever. And it says this with the humans who were there: he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. That'll be a great day. And on that day, those of us who were part of this, those of us who were his ecclesia, his called out ones, who said, God, I'm in, and who took some risks, and who were empowered by God to make a difference in this world, we will be grateful for every step we took, every prayer we prayed, every dollar we gave, every minute we spent, every way we served, every way we sacrificed. It'll be like, I am so thankful that I was part of this. And that life of adventure is there for all of us. Part of beginning a relationship with God is not just about what God can do in you. It's also about what God wants to do through you, to bring change and hope and light to this world. And I hope that for many of you, you'll say yes to a relationship with God. We're about to pray. And for those of us who have it, why don't we say yes to an even greater adventure, to more risks, to more love, to more faith, to more hope, to join God in what he's doing in this world. And let's encourage each other in that, because you'll never be the same once you know that God wants to use you to change the world. Let's pray together. Lord, I do thank you that you want to use us to change the world. That's the way you do it. So Father, would you help us be people who will say yes to that every day of our lives? And God, I know for some people out here, maybe it's a chance for the first time to say yes to that, to begin a relationship with you, which is not just about how you want to forgive our sins and help us know you, and even transform our lives and change us. That's true. But also it's about saying yes to what you want to do through us and to live a life way above our pay grade. As we get to join with others in the church, in your ecclesia, to be your people who bring love and hope and peace and light to this broken world. And God, would you help us to say yes in a fresh way, to be your people, to be your called out ones. God, would you help our life to increasingly be that adventure of inspiring others to follow Jesus and together changing our world for good. In Jesus' name, amen.